Tom Repke has rolled in.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Tom.
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, and once again, thank you to Melinda for what looks like is another outstanding piece of, in this case, hashtag Eclipse Coffee Cake Ministry.
Something like that, yes.
Something like that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, looks terrific.
I'm sure it will be.
Oh, yeah.
May have to get a plate.
So,
knife.
Was the eclipse at all a topic at your church yesterday?
It was. We actually passed out some glasses, thanks to Jay from Eclipse Over Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
And taught everybody how to lean their head back.
To do it the right way, yeah.
Then we had Sam Beatty there from Grace led worship for us, which was a delight. And then he let's do a group picture. So,
fun.
And I actually replayed the broadcast that you and you did with David and Jay last fall.
So, okay,
just
very
because
good.
It really was beautiful.
Well, nice to be a public service.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, hey, my pleasure.
Great.
Are you ready for this? I mean, you know, everybody has a take, and I just kind of want it to be a little contrary to everybody.
Why not?
On earth. Yeah, because, and especially some Christians who are getting into, oh, this is in prophecy, and okay, come on. And I found a wonderful article at Baptist Press called Why Can't the Eclipse Just Be an Eclipse?
Right.
And I think it's going to show plenty about God's glory.
Absolutely.
Majesty.
Yes.
And power.
Yes.
We don't have to really go beyond that.
No, we really don't.
So we'll be talking about that over the next hour and a half or so. And Chaplain Dan.
Looking forward to that.
On his way. Hope he wants some coffee cake because Melinda outdid herself this time. Ooh. It's Mornings with Mark on Heartfelt Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
We want to welcome back to Heartfelt Radio on Eclipse Day 2024, Pastor Tom Repke.
Good morning.
Linden Road Presbyterian in Mansfield. Always good to have you in the house.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And Chaplain Dan Page.
There we go.
I know. He looked the other way.
Chaplain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just before we talk about the eclipse and God's majesty, power, and glory, mm-hmm. we got to talk about this little new development here for you.
Well, yeah.
I know you were praying about it for quite a while.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Yeah.
So the days at Cornerstone, it was late spring or early summer last year. I'm always hesitant when someone just says, God told me, especially if they tell me, God told me to tell you. But
yeah.
I just had, what's that?
Yes.
No. Yeah. But I just had a strong sense that my time there was done. So it was hard to keep that to myself, but I announced my resignation on September 24th, and I had no idea how quickly things would go and how fast things would change. But long story short, here I am now. And, I do have to say I have a Medicare card with my name on it.
Oh, but, hello.
Yeah. So
welcome to the club.
Yes, brother.
Dan Page.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But that allows me currently to be able to work about 20 hours a week doing this. And it's a hospice in Stowe called Serenity Hospice. Mm-hmm. It's not a hospice facility, but people call when a loved one's coming under hospice care. They get a nurse, an aide, a social worker, and a chaplain. And so,
excellent.
Yeah, it's quite a journey. The first week with all the, if it's not charted, it didn't happen.
Right.
And,
yes, welcome to that world.
Yes. And I just was thinking about that. I Love Lucy with the chocolate coming at him. Oh. You know, that's how I felt. It's like,
right. No, I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I look, cause I was introduced to everybody at our last all staff meeting on, Tuesday it was, and I didn't know I was going to speak, or they asked me to say something, to introduce myself, and it just struck me how that this is holy ground at this season of a person's life.
Absolutely.
The end of the last chapter, and so a privilege to share and be there with them, and everybody takes a first breath, everybody takes a final breath.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what God will do. Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, we're very excited for you. And I know you had been praying about this for a long time. You felt like when we talked at the end of September, when you let me in mm-hmm, on mm-hmm, knowing mm-hmm. What was going on, you felt mm-hmm. that this was how God was pulling you, mm-hmm. Not only away from one, but towards the other. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really happy for you.
Thank you, brother.
That yeah. he led you to that place that he put in your heart.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
And I just did a funeral yesterday. I hate death, but it's only for now.
Right.
And yeah. But at that moment, to be with dying people, which is the three of us and everybody listening, but I mean just in the sense of being
here. Yeah,
him.
Understood.
Would you share that? Yes.
Understood. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Understood.
That it's, it'll be exciting to see. Yeah, it'll just be exciting.
Well, the whole hospice ministry, Melinda was actually the first director as a nurse in Ashland County, and 40 years ago. And,
wow.
And I just think what I've learned, even yesterday I had a phone call through, I'm doing some things with glue and the whole just connecting with people. And there was a woman that reached out who she lost her husband, not through cancer, but very suddenly he just died literally in her arms. He was 67. And how she's still, even though she's plugged into a church, it's just as churches, we don't think about that journey with people. Yeah. And I even have last November I came in, and that morning I actually had lost an amazing man at the church, had learned, and he had prostate cancer. And Dan, it's just been beautiful. His wife, went through a series of bereavement classes that, and I think even where we go with this morning talking about, the eclipse is that there's sort of order to the universe. Amen. And it's not chaos. And in these moments, so to be reminded, death is part of the journey, but we have victory because of what we experienced last Sunday one more time.
Oh, amen. God took care of death.
Yeah. So how cool in the season. I just think, especially I'm really grateful that God's called you to that point, because I just think in the world we live in right now, people need that kind of encouragement to face it, because I think it's been so chaotic.
Yes.
To have the gospel proclaimed and to be there. And sometimes it's just presence. I mean, you don't have to say a word. Exactly. Just the fact that you're there just to listen, I think what a beautiful gift that is.
Two ears, one mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. When you told me that you had now got this new position, the first thing that popped into my mind was one of my favorite Howard Hendricks quotes. He said, "People think we're in the land of the living, headed for the land of the dying."
Yes.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes.
Amen. We're in the land of the dying, headed for the land of the living.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes and I could see him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I never went to Dallas Theological Seminary, but man, I love that guy.
Yes.
And yep.
We'll see him one day.
I can't wait to just shake his hand and thank him for the education he gave me from 1,000 miles away.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Yeah. Well, it's Eclipse Day.
It is.
It is.
So we're going to take a quick break here, get a little music from Terry Clark, and dive into a topic which has gone in any degree of all 360 in the last couple of months. God is good all the time.
And?
All the time.
God is good.
Yeah. I'm here this morning with Pastor Tom Repke and Chaplain Dan Page. 7:23. And I guess, we were talking about, where do we start this morning? Oh, I don't know. The beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just struck me last night. I was trying to put some thoughts together. First verse, first book, first chapter. Mm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the story.
Yeah.
And
of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so while there are many who dispute that, either he did or he didn't, and what a simple, concise, and compelling way to say it. I remember long before I encountered God, I was on a thing called Outward Bound on the coast of Maine on Hurricane Island, and one of the things you did was spend 3 days by yourself with a gallon of water on an island.
Wow.
And so every morning I would get up before sunrise. I just woke up, and there was this little cleft in the rock on the top of this.
Imagine that.
Yeah, top of this hill in this mountain. And I would face east, and I'd watch the sun come up. And I had no – I wish I could have been thanking God and praising him. I didn't know him yet. Mm. But it overwhelmed me. And then when I was up in Boston, I spent – I was there for a weekend, and I stayed in a guest house from a friend right on the ocean in a sunroom that was all glass.
Oh.
And there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it was night.
Wow.
It looked almost like a dense bowl of soup with star noodles in it. I mean, there were so many stars, it felt like I could just scoop them. Mm. And then I was able to say, oh, God, this is overwhelming. You created the heavens and the earth.
And so here we are with a lot of voices talking in secular media and Christian media, which may be going in directions they shouldn't. And yet all I wanted to focus on this morning is God's majesty, his power, and his glory.
Amen.
Because that's really what's on display.
Well, it is. And I even want to go to the first chapter of John, where John takes a whole different, but he starts the same way.
In the beginning, God.
In the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. And then he reminds us that, you know, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things are made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly his original hearers or readers would have thought they would just have the default. In the beginning, they would have thought what was coming next, God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And for him to twist that or turn that, twist it, is significant, because then, oh, this God, he walked among us.
Amen.
Yeah. That's a
well, cool and we're working through a series, and so I actually read this yesterday to remind us, because, you know, it would be for those hearers. We lose it.
Yeah.
Right. But for those first century folks that are with him there as John writes this and says that, it's like, what? And even to be reminded, right? The Feast of Tabernacles was, you know, just the idea of the lighting of the candelabras, and the idea of Jesus says in that moment, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's just, wow. Right. What beauty.
And I know I want to go to Psalms, and I want to go to Isaiah.
Absolutely.
Because they both talk about the fact, and I think that because they, whether the psalmist is David or the sons of Korah or whoever it might be, or whether it was Isaiah, they were fascinated with what they saw at night. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of Dan, those sunrises and those stars that you saw in that glass room.
Yeah.
You know, they were just as fascinated thousands of years ago as you were on that night when you got driven to your knees and you had to say, Lord, you are.
Overwhelming. I'd never experienced that. I'd been away from city lights before, but there was something unique about that night that, yes, it was overwhelming.
So there are a lot of aspects to what is coming up today that are very, very interesting, astronomically speaking, too.
Yes.
Yeah. But the astronomy points directly at a living and powerful God.
Right, who maintains order, right? This isn't just happenstance. I mean, this is, because even like the idea of the Star of Bethlehem, we can actually, you know, through science, we can reverse engineer and actually know what was in the skies, because there is this order. We can predict it. Mm-hmm. So we can tell folks to look at the sky at 3:13 with your glasses off to see this most amazing sight because of just the order that God has created.
Mm. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go this morning. Time right now, 7:28. Okay, guys, think everybody's awake now?
Yes.
Okay.
Morning.
Yeah, Stephen Curtis Chapman here on 7:34 on a Monday morning. And good morning. We're talking Eclipse this morning. Mark Zimmerman here. Tom Repke, pastor at Linden Road Presbyterian in Mansfield. Yeah. Good to have you back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And once again, thank you, Melinda, for the Eclipse Day.
We're going to dig into that here in a minute.
Coffee Cake Ministry. We appreciate that. And Chaplain Dan Page.
Good morning.
Now with
Serenity Hospice in Stowe, Ohio.
Okay.
Do we just sort of bow when you say chaplain?
No. Something like that.
Yeah, a little nod of the head.
No. Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. Well, guys, Pastor Tom was talking just a few minutes ago about the order in the universe. We were, you know, we're talking about the eclipse this morning, and I cannot get over the order of the universe. We have a way to know the exact time, the exact place, and we have the ability to document.
Absolutely.
And we know into the future.
We can.
Yeah, and we know into the past. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later.
Right.
You know, but there's things that happen where we can actually point to a time and a place and a day where God's glory and power and majesty is going to be on display.
Mm.
Now, you know, same thing in August, in a way, you have the Perseid meteor shower. Now, there you know approximately the date, and you know approximately the time. So there is order there, but you do have to be alert when you're up late at night for the Perseid meteor shower, because you never know if you're going to get one a minute or one every 5 minutes or two a minute. Mm. You just have to keep watching. But here, the Lord has figured out time, date, and place.
Figured out, yeah.
No, yeah, he's got his slide rule.
Yeah,
out.
He's well. It's actually he's commanded it. This is just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't need a slide rule,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, the Psalms that we know well, Psalm 19. You know, mm-hmm. The heavens declare, and here it's so cool to live in this time and place, and to be able to know, and we're all excited about it. And as I said, I trained our folks yesterday how to crick their neck, so they knew what it
was. There's
like.
An art to that.
There
yeah,
is. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah.
So the beauty of it, though.
And, you know, every time that Chaplain Dan posts on social media and he starts with, isn't it a coincidence that mm-hmm. I know, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Pastor Dan's mm-hmm. are going
like
to be talking about.
Dice, yeah,
he's going to be talking about creation. And I just am, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this in the last 2 months. Isn't it interesting that when eclipses occur here on the earth, the moon is the perfect size to block out the sun.
Go figure.
In its orbit.
Aren't we lucky?
Isn't that interesting? I mean, let's think.
Right.
If the moon were, oh, I don't know, it's 260,000 miles away, 240 sometimes. But if it were 10,000 miles closer, we wouldn't get the same effect.
Yeah.
If it was 10,000 miles further away, we wouldn't get the same effect. Mm-hmm. If the Earth's orbit were adjusted by a few hundred thousand miles, we wouldn't get the same effect.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
Yeah.
And Tom referenced Psalm 19, those first four verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky displays his handiwork. Day after day, it speaks out. Night after night, it reveals his greatness. There is no actual speech or word, nor is its voice literally heard, yet its voice echoes throughout the earth. Its words carry to the distant horizon. And a good brother, David Brony and Eric Eskeland, wrote a song called Adonai. And here's the two verses. I lift my eyes to the heavens, in wonder at all you have made. Without a word spoken, the silence is broken. The stars and the skies shout the name. And then he attaches it to the glory of what Christ did. O Lord of all creation, in beauty and suffering displayed, marvelous mystery, the breath of God, filling these hearts made of clay.
Yesterday, I posted a quote from A.W. Tozer before I went off to church. The unbelieving mind would not be convinced by any proof, and the worshiping heart needs none.
Mm.
You know,
Amen.
There are going to be people who are going to look at that, what happens today, and have every explanation possible that they could have. The miracle of evolution and all of that. But the worshiping heart can just revel
his
glory.
Confident that God's word is true and that he did create the heavens and the earth, and that the heavens and the earth that he displayed, even in his fallen condition, declares his glory.
Mm.
His glory. It didn't just happen. What the people speak of the Big Bang. Where did what went bang come from?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Chaplain Dan.
Yeah.
He strikes early and scores unassisted. Yeah, very nice. Now, you know, there are a number of aspects we're going to be talking about today about, you know, the seriousness of Scripture, the science behind it. There's also some fun behind it, too.
Yes.
Yesterday, the folks at the Armstrong Air and Space Museum.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah. That's in Wapakoneta. They're in the Path of Totality as well. Of course, Armstrong, Wapakoneta, we're talking Neil Armstrong.
Right.
Yeah. They posted yesterday this. Eclipse rain date. In the event of inclement weather, the museum's eclipse event will be rescheduled for Monday, September 14th, 2099.
Okay.
Thank you. Well done.
Yes, well done.
Armstrong Air and Space Museum.
And it speaks to the, as you first mentioned, Tom, to the order. These the stars and galaxies aren't smashing into each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I think just, again, the season that we've all gone through, I just think we need to know it's not chaos. To be reminded that, you know, God is still in charge. Mm-hmm. And even something is what we're going to experience today. I just, like I've heard you say a number of times, we can actually predict, right, to the mm-hmm. moment, to say, the moment. At 3:13,
right,
totality begins. And how
I think it's 3:13:49.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. And you know, the beauty of that, I mean, it's just, and that should encourage us to say, even when we think our life is upside down, it's like, okay, I don't understand what God's doing, but that doesn't mean that I can't depend upon his order in my life, that he loves mm-hmm. me, and, you know, all those things that come with that, the beauty of that.
So today is not only, well, it is awe and wonder, it is, but it's also order and purpose.
There we go.
A creation that screams out, pointing toward a creator.
Right.
Amen. And that's the, often when I'm feeling snarky or whatever. To make that point, what makes the most sense? And then the question that is often leveled, well, who made God? Well, there you go. Oh. He is God. You are presented with the evidence of creation, which speaks of its creator, of design, which speaks of a designer. Of engineering, which speaks of an engineer, and to see explain the how it is that salmon know exactly where to go and when to go to continue to see life happen. Migration. How do you explain migration
of something as fragile as a monarch butterfly?
Yep.
Oh, right.
Traveling from Northeast Ohio to Mexico.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And always winding up in the same exact place, no matter where they come from.
Exactly. Which speaks of a pre-programmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or as a wonderfully wise man by the name of Bob Devine used to say, a wonderful creator, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We're going to talk more about this as the morning continues. We'll check Andre's forecast, and we'll hear from Dave Zanotti on the public square. Pastor Tom Repke, Chaplain Dan Page here with me this morning. On Heartfelt Radio. Heartfelt Radio 91.9 on Eclipse Day 2024. Mark Zimmerman here, sitting in the studio with Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian in Mansfield.
Good morning.
He is with us on a regular basis for all sorts of things.
And one never knows.
Yeah, exactly. Chaplain Dan Page is here. Great to have you back, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah. As Chaplain Dan, it's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah, me too.
I know. From Serenity Hospice in Stowe.
Yes.
All right. We have wandered through a number of subjects, but we keep coming back to design and designer, don't we?
We do.
I wonder why.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So let's talk about design and designer. Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Gee, wouldn't that be enough? You think, guys? There's more.
There is.
He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Stunning. There's more. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Boy, it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
It does.
The central event in all of human history a little over a week ago, and now here we are looking at a celestial event that points directly back to the one who is before all things, who created everything in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, and that everything that's been created has been done through him and for him. It's a little distinctive.
Totally uniquely, 100% distinctive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That 15th verse, this is one of those, a paradox is truth standing on its head for attention. In that 15th verse, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so the one who made everything there is became one of those he made to rescue all of those he made.
Right.
And just to be awestruck by the reality that Jesus is what God looks like. How he loved, what he did, what he didn't do, what he said, what he didn't say. And so if we want to know who God is, we just keep our eyes on Jesus, because he came to show the way and be the way and all of that. But yeah, he's the image of the invisible God. So now you have a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the extension of that, even like the idea yesterday shows attention of Jesus is the light of the world. But then in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world.
Mm. Right.
And then that was the question I left everybody with yesterday, is like, so how are you doing shining the light?
Mm.
Because that's how the world knows who he is, because of who we are.
Mm-hmm. They will know, he told them in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
They will know who you are by your love for one another.
Right.
A love that he said, as I have loved you.
Exactly.
Right.
He's modeled it for us.
Yeah. He modeled it and he passed it, and now we are to carry it.
Right.
Again, the creator of Colossians 1:15 coming to this earth and communicating to us how we should best represent him. Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting that he didn't say, and we can do this, you know, we're free to do this. We can point them toward a meteor shower or an eclipse. But he said, they will not know who I am by the meteor shower or the eclipse.
Right. Mm.
They will know who I am by your love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Good question yesterday, Tom.
And sometimes...
how are you shining out there, everybody?
Yeah. And sometimes it seems that we hear a message that is a call for us to curse the darkness, when the darkness is just being the darkness.
Right. Yes.
And it's our call to go into that darkness and let this light shine. If anybody's ever been in a cavern, pitch black.
Right.
And I was in a group tour, and we were sitting down there, and back in the day before watches were as overwhelming as they are, it was just a day glow screen. And there, for whatever reason, this guy wanted to know what time it was. Mm-hmm. And he pushed the side of his watch, a very, 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 very soft green light. And you could not miss it.
Right.
Because it was pitch black in that place.
Yeah, there's the moment in every one of those cavern tours, mm-hmm, where the guide tells everybody to turn off everything they got.
Mm-hmm.
Put the phone in the pocket,
mm-hmm,
and just stand there for about 10 seconds. And it makes you want to find any little piece of light you possibly can.
Because
mm-hmm, you want to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, we mentioned this just before, and it's a saying of A.W. Tozer, and I think it's just really, really important for today, especially the way people use things, like this event in the secular sense, or even in a religious context. The unbelieving mind would not be convinced by any proof, and the worshiping heart needs none. It's a tremendous reminder to all of us from A.W. Tozer that when we start totaling up all these evidences we have from God, mm-hmm, how How can we turn away?
And you, because I'm so locked into that word, that, and to differentiate, and you used both words in the last minute, what Tozer said about proof, and you mentioned evidence. And if somebody's demanding that you, it's your, you say there's a God, it's your, the burden of proof is on you. No, there's nothing to prove here. All of us are presented with the same evidence. And it's the evidence, and even in the court of law, beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence is in, and the evidence is clear. And it's not so much that, and again, I think that's part of the problem. I remember my unbelieving mind and looking for proof. Well, proof is different than evidence. And Josh McDowell's book is evidence that demands a verdict. And so, yeah, the unbelieving mind is blinded by the God of this world, and only God's light can pierce that.
Gotcha for another half hour, guys?
Sure. Yeah.
All absolutely. Right.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Pastor Tom Repke, Chaplain Dan Page here in studio. Mark Zimmerman here on Heartfelt Radio. In the studio with me, Pastor Tom Repke, Linden Road Presbyterian in Mansfield.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Tom.
Thank you.
And Chaplain Dan. Chaplain Dan.
Yes.
Chaplain Dan Page is with us this morning as well. And I'm still getting used to this, from Serenity Hospice in Stowe.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about that next time you're with us.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we will. Great to have you here this morning, guys, as we talk about the eclipse from a little different angle than probably 99% of all media is talking about it today. So, Pastor Tom, you wanted to kind of start this segment off by going to Isaiah chapter 40. And there are some very specific verses.
There are.
That we want to look at. But if I may, can I give context?
Please.
Isaiah chapter 40, folks, for those of you who say, wait a minute, I think I know something out of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is Jesus and John the Baptist,
yes,
like screaming out in the Old Testament here. So let's go to Isaiah 40.
Even the title of that is, you know, comfort for God's people. Uh-huh. So a little tease even into the idea that there's order, even in the midst of the chaos, there's God's in the middle of it. And so it's almost kind of humorous, I think, as the psalmist says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. And then this one, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He writes.
Mm-hmm.
He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing.
Oh, my.
Yes. I mean, the encouragement that comes from that in the midst of, you know, when life seems upside down is like, even looking at the heavens today is like, God's in the middle of it. And he knows their name and calls them by name, which is really kind of beautiful.
And, you know, as you go even further into that chapter towards the end come the verses, another series of verses that we're all familiar with. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. Doesn't even leave anything to chance there by just saying earth. Isaiah says whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. I mean, Pastor Dan is sitting with a picture in front of him of a galaxy that he has numbers for us here that I can't even begin to comprehend.
Right.
Tell me about this galaxy.
Yes. On Facebook, there's a page for the NASA James Webb Space Telescope, JWST.
Which, okay, we thought the Hubble Space Telescope was great. Now we're seeing things that make the Hubble Space Telescope like a 1960s transistor radio.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like high-definition TV. Now you can see pores on the nose. You know,
okay.
It's that clear.
Thank you for that word TMI right there.
Yes, yes, oh, my goodness.
Chaplain Dan.
Yes, yes. But this is, if you go to their Facebook page, you'll find this, or type it in on a web search, Tadpole Galaxy, from and it says this. The Tadpole Galaxy is a disrupted, barred, spiral galaxy located 420 million light years from the Earth in the northern constellation of Draco.
Hold on. Okay, now, for those of you who just let that roll past you, say that number again.
420 million light years.
The distance that light can travel in a year times 420 million. And he knows them all by name. Keep going.
Its most dramatic feature is a trail of stars about 280,000 light years long. Its size has been attributed to a merger with a smaller galaxy that is believed to have occurred about 100 million years ago. Mm-hmm. It is filled with bright blue star clusters. The galaxy, this galaxy, is the largest disrupted spiral galaxy of its sort.
Of its sort. Oh, by the way, everybody, there are millions of galaxies that are observable by the Webb Space Telescope.
Yep.
Millions of galaxies that are hundreds of millions miles in terms of light years from Earth.
That all goes back to what we started with at the beginning. In the beginning,
right.
God created the heavens and the earth. Now we're doing deep dives into them with our technology.
He knows them all by name.
Right. And then just to lean into the last part of chapter 40 there is just this encouragement about we don't give up hope, right? Because he says,
right.
Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
A tremendous reminder to just look at what we have been given to look at.
Right.
That'll let us know that there is hope.
There is. And I think even the idea that, you know, again, I keep sort of giving this overarching idea that the seasons that we have lived through in these last number of years, it's just we've all run back to the, you know, in a crazy way and to actually to be more intentional about pausing and to retreating and reflecting. And again, I'm so grateful, Dan, for your next chapter, because I think the season, people are living longer and not knowing what to do with that season of life is complicated, and to offer the wisdom of Scripture and just being present. What a gift that is.
We have spent some time. We've got one more segment to talk about Eclipse Day. And we'll even talk a little bit about where we're going to be today.
Okay.
When 3:13:49, thank you, Chaplain Dan, rolls around this afternoon. Pastor Tom Repke, Chaplain Dan Page, here with me this morning in the main studio here at Heartfelt Radio. Mark Zimmerman with you as we talk about the eclipse and the events surrounding it in a way that maybe 99% of the other radio and TV stations aren't. We're focused on God's majesty and glory and power. What do you got,
well,
Pastor Dan?
His majesty and his power and his glory come to us and call us to life, a life we'd never have without the one whose majesty and power and glory we acknowledge. And embedded into Romans chapter 8, a very familiar passage of Scripture, or chapter in Scripture for sure, Romans chapter 8, starts out with, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Zero. And as you drop down into Romans 8, I'm just going to read this passage, it's 18 through 25, and listen to how creation is inserted into this declaration, because there's no doubt in our lives, in the lives of those we love, in the lives of those listening, that we need constant encouragement so that we can live in an enduring way. "For I consider that our present sufferings cannot even be compared to the coming glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of God who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers together until now. Not only this, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, eagerly awaiting our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And he concludes this complete thought with these words, "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with endurance." And so creation itself is groaning because of what happened in Genesis 3. And just to think about that, even in the majesty and beauty and glory of what we'll see and the precision still, the fall has attached itself to this world.
Yes.
And that's something to remember. All of this, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, not a remodeled one, not a make-o paint job. It's going to be brand new, and this will not be again. We just can't imagine how good that's going to be. But all of creation speaks of the power of the Creator, and he's the one who made us, who knows us, who loves us.
You know, Tom, when Dan said he wanted to go to Romans 8, I was like, ooh,
what?
Ooh, ooh. Yeah. But it's a great reminder to us today, and I think a great encouragement, that here on this day, even though the whole earth is groaning, we are going to see something that does display God's majesty and power and glory. Because even though the world is groaning, it's still his world, and the future he has prepared for it is still right on track.
It is, and here's the beauty. Scripture always tells us stories where God, like the story of Abraham and his son, right, is the foreshadowing of Jesus. God's son. Well, even in the book of Revelation, we get to the next to the last chapter, and it says, and this is amazing, verse 22, he says, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." So even as you chose these words to lead us into today, you know, the power and the majesty and the glory of God to be, you know, it's all focused on that eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just a foreshadowing. And then as C.S. Lewis in the dark, you know, we see it with, you know, darkness that is a glimpse of reality that comes to us eventually.
Yeah.
And all that to focus and to be reminded there is a new heaven and a new earth coming, right, that we're going to be a part of. Because in the next chapter that ends out the book of Revelation is this idea that there's a city, the garden is being restored.
Yes.
You know, we're going to go back to worshiping God the way it was before the fall.
And in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to have new bodies.
Yeah, there we go.
No death, no dying, no darkness, no demons, no disease.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, because it's a maturing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, you guys read it differently than you read it 30 or 40 years ago, too, right?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, because now, as we are a little closer to transitioning into heaven than we were when we first encountered Christ, a lot of things in the Bible have taken on an important new facet for you and for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the creation story somehow just rings truer and truer and truer and becomes more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful. And yes, we definitely have less laps in front of us than behind us. And one day we'll know. I, a couple months ago, it struck me so clearly that Paul did not say, "I know what I've believed." He said, "I know who believed."
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's this one.
We've just talked so many times this morning about this groaning creation and about the fact that the world became a sinful place almost right off the top. Mm-hmm. And yet the one who created all, the creation, points us inexorably toward the Creator. And I was thinking as I was getting ready and making some notes last night about vacation this year in June. We're going back to Lake Superior again. Mm. And at Christmas time, when we were up there, right around New Year's, there's this 25-mile-an-hour wind coming off Lake Superior, and it's making my face hurt. And I was just thinking about the fact, wait a minute, we have these five incredibly huge lakes in this part of the country that hold a significant percentage of the world's fresh water. Mm. And they're just sitting here when everything around it is salt water.
Yep.
The creation cries out and tells you there's got to be a creator who is responsible for these and so many things. You know, it, just travel out west. So many things we get to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And I even think just one more part of this chapter from Revelation where just, you know, even the idea of where we're living in terms of doing life beyond the creation, what we see. You know, the writer continues, the nations will walk by its light and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. Mm. You know, just this idea of what we're being invited. And on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. I mean, just what we're being invited into. And I think, again, it goes back to that, what is I think about the arc of what we've worked through this morning, the idea of order. It's not chaos, that God is working his end in all things. And today we get to see that as we look to the sky.
We do.
3 o'clock and 13 after.
1349.
49, thanks.
Dan. Thank you again, yes, Chaplain Dan. So I guess the last question is, where are you guys going to be at 3 o'clock-ish?
Our backyard.
Amen.
Ours too. Yeah. My driveway. I already.
You're going to be in our backyard?
No. My yours. Backyard. Okay. My driveway, because I actually looked yesterday. We got this amazing cedar tree in the backyard that actually where I need to put my camera so I can get some cool pictures.
Okay. Mm. All right.
So it's at the outside of the porch and off to the side because, yeah.
In the aspect of where your house sits. For us, it'll be the front yard.
Okay.
We're surrounded on three sides by trees and woods at our house. And it just so happens that, and we checked it out with the glasses over the last couple of days, that the sun is going to be high enough to get above those trees, and we're going to get a really, really nice view if Andre's forecast continues to improve, as he says it will.
We're still going to experience it, though, right?
Absolutely.
That's what our friend David kept telling
exactly
us.
Exactly right. Let's take a moment, guys, and if you would, pray us into this Monday.
Lord, we just want to thank you for the wonders of the universe and how they point us to you in the midst of our craziness and life. We just pause even today as we take in with our families and friends, as we look heavensward, be reminded of just who you are and your love for us.
And God, we do thank you that you're the one whose hand spins the galaxies, and you're the one who brought us into being, and you're the one who holds the stars, and you're the one who made us your own. We do pray that when this moment comes, whatever overwhelming sense we have will just point us in a deeper, stronger, yes, brighter way to you who made all that we see.
Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being able to see your power and your glory front and center right here where we are on this very interesting and one-of-a-kind day. Let us shine, as Pastor Tom was saying. Mm-hmm. Let us shine for you today, wherever we are, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate the fact that you took a little time today and came in and joined me here.
Great. It's always good. Always good.
And, of course, next time you're back, it'll probably be for a Bible study. And now we have the nugget.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever we do in that Bible study, we're going to take a nugget and play it for people on Fridays. So it will live on.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Dan.
And Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.